May God's grace be with us this morning, and may the word spoken be from his mouth, and that he would encourage and uplift us even as this day goes on. For text this morning, I'd like to read from the fifth chapter of Matthew, and reading from the 13th verse and reading down through the 20th verse. It is a portion of the Beatitudes. We'll read these words in Jesus' name. Verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law, or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these indeed are your words. And Father, we want to look unto them and be instructed by them, but be instructed by you. That, Father, that you would give to us an understanding, and that you would reveal all these things unto us that we need to know even at this point. So, Father, we thank you and we ask you. We know that you are gracious. We know that you answer prayer. And we pray again this morning that, Father, you would speak to us. So, Lord, we ask these in Jesus' name. Amen. The first part of this text deals with how, in this case, he was talking to the apostles, but it also continues over to talk to us as his children. He went down through the Beatitudes that we're so familiar with, that blessed are the poor, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, and so on, all down the list. But in verse 16, he kind of switches gears. He gets all done talking about that, and you know, and then the last verse, the 12th verse, he says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Then he kind of switches gears and he starts talking to his disciples. But he also is talking to us. And he starts out, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But that first word, and I've got written it in my Bible here, he's talking about me. And he's talking about you. And he's talking about all those that believe. We are indeed the salt of the earth. But then he gives that warning and he says, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? If that salt has lost its flavoring, you can't taste the saltiness of it anymore. What good is it? And he's talking about the Christian life. He's talking about our life that we are living even now at this moment today. That if we aren't an example of him, then that's the flavoring of that salt is missing. And he says, wherewith shall it be salted? How are they going to know about it? How are those who know you or see you or understand who you are, how are they going to be salted? How are they going to learn? And then he goes on, he says very clearly, and thenceforth good for nothing. Think about that. Good for nothing. This is what Jesus is telling his disciples. If you don't live that life that you've been called to do, and as it goes on further when it talks about the light, you're of no value. You're not doing what you have been instructed to do. You're not doing what God would have you do. But it should be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Then he goes on, he says, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Scripture speaks of being a light in several different places, and there's a couple of them that I found. This was back in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs. It's the fourth chapter in the 18th verse. And it says this, but the path of the just is the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Get that last part of it. That shineth more and more. That light needs to shine more and more as that last day comes, so that people can see and understand and know that there is something different. There is something better. If they won't accept it, if they won't comprehend it, even as in the Old Testament time where when Jesus told his disciples, if they don't listen to you, shake the dust of that city as a testament against them off of your shoes and leave. But that's not an excuse that we are to use. That's not an excuse that we are to say, well, they didn't pay any attention to me, so I left. I don't know. Did you really talk to them? Did you really set an example? Well, there's times where I haven't. There's times where I had an opportunity and just didn't do it. That's not good. That's not good. Then we can also look in Philippians, second chapter, the 15th verse. Or I'm sorry, yeah. Chapter 2, verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. How do you become blameless and harmless? By trusting in God and by trusting in what He has done. To be that messenger to the world, to show them that there is a difference. A lot of times, maybe I shouldn't say it that way, there are times where because you are different that you are chastised. There are times that if you are different, you are made fun of. And Scripture tells us that should be a joyful time for us. Because the simple fact is that if you are not chastised because of what you believe in, if you are not made fun of, you are not rebuked because you proclaim Christ, or didn't proclaim maybe in that case, if that doesn't happen, you may want to back off a little bit and say why. But you see, those who chastise and those who make fun of us because of what we believe. And it's Satan who stands there and tries to tell us not to do it because our human nature, may suffer. Does that really matter? Does that really make a difference? To a human, it does. Like it or not, that's the way we're built. But to someone who knows, loves, and trusts God, it really isn't an issue. You are a light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, or put it under a candlestick, or put it on a candlestick, and it gives light to those that are in the house. Let your life so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There's a little comment that I read, and I wrote it in the on the side, on the little side of the Bible here, but it says, words without deeds are like salt that has become useless. Or they're also like a light that's put underneath a basket. We can talk all the words we want to. You can say all the things that you want to say. But if you're a light, or if your life is not an example of it, then it's time to back off and start looking at it again and saying, maybe I need to rethink this. Maybe I need to step back and ask myself, what do I truly believe? Who do I truly believe in? And am I being an example of that? And this is what Jesus is telling his disciples. He's telling them that you have to live your faith. You have to be an example of your faith, even as we are to be an example of our faith. We are instructed to do so. But then in verse 17, he kind of shifts gears. Tells them, you know, how you're supposed to act and what you're supposed to do. But now he's telling them, how do we go about it? He says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say to you that until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Christ came to fulfill that law that man can't, couldn't, never did, never will, because of the sinfulness of man and the sin that lies in us. And that's why God had to come down in the form of his Son and had to be that perfect sacrifice. He was the one that he came not to destroy it, but he came to fulfill it. Does that mean that the law is destroyed and gone? No. No. It's with us today, and it's something that we dearly need to pay attention to. Why? Because it is our schoolmaster. It is what we have to look to as to what is expected of us. So he tells us, he says, and I'm telling you that till the earth and heavens pass away, till God says, pulls the plug and said, okay, this is it, you guys are done. It's over. Until that happens, there is not one, and that term, one jot or one tittle, I've often wondered about that. I knew it happened to be something small. The term jot is actually the smallest word in the Greek vocabulary. And the word tittle doesn't even mean a word. It means a punctuation, I guess, if you will. For verily I say unto you, comma, till heaven and earth pass, comma, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, comma, till all be fulfilled. Every single bit of the law that God gave to Moses will be fulfilled, and nothing will be taken away. Not one bit of it. That's getting pretty precise. That's getting very explicit. Even the tiniest little punctuation will never be taken away from it. That's how important it is. That's how important it is to us and to God. None of this will ever pass away until God calls us home. And then he goes on. He says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and another text or another translation calls, it says, whosoever shall can't think of the name now, but reduce them, you know, reduce it, make it not quite so important, I guess, if you will, as one of these least commandments, then, and shall teach men so. And that's the key there. They'll teach people that. He shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do them and teach them and the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Don't reduce the law to what you think it should say or what it should be. It's there for a reason. It's there because God ordained it so. And that's how specific and how perfect he is. And that law is something that reminds us as how we are supposed to live. God knew we weren't going to be able to make it. He knew we weren't going to be able to keep those laws. That's why Jesus came. And yet that law is so perfect that he keeps it there for us to look at, for us to be reminded of what is expected of us. Are we going to be saved because we happen to try to fulfill that law? No. No, not at all. In fact, in verse 20, he says, "For I say to you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. How do we exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? Let's look at verse 8, 9, and 10. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." That is how we are righteous. That's how we exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. It is through our Lord and our Savior. Because we believe and we trust. And we know that God has ordained it so. "For I say to you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." That's a severe warning. That's not something to be taken lightly. That's not something that we can say, "Well, okay, I'll do that next week, or tomorrow, or this afternoon, or whatever." That's something that needs to be taken to heart even right now. We go back to the verse 19 when he's talking about whosoever shall break or shall reduce make one of these commandments not quite as strict as what we think they should be. It doesn't say that he is not going to be taken into heaven. He says that, and it says specifically, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But it's the one who shall do and teach the commandments exactly what they are and what they say. The same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Don't reduce God's word. Don't reduce it down to something that would be more palatable for us to believe. If it says it, believe it. And do with it as you will. But don't try to reduce it. Don't try to make it something that it's not. Always know and understand that indeed it is his word, God's word, and it is perfect. We are to continue to trust in him and to know, even though the times sometimes we're going through a rough time or going over a rough patch and, you know, things aren't going quite as well as we would like them to be. That's us. That's us that's going through that. It's not God. That's us, our human nature, that is kind of getting off the path somewhat. That's us that's getting off the path and kind of wandering around, and then the thoughts come into the head and Satan's there telling you, "Well, yeah," and pretty soon you build it up into something that it isn't. And God is just sitting there patiently waiting. Even as we sang in that third song, softly and tenderly, that's how God works. That's how the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. Softly, tenderly. The world today, whenever you see somebody trying to push an issue, or force an issue or explain an issue, whatever term you want to put on it, what's the first thing that ends up happening? Screaming, hollering, yelling, mad, angry. Very seldom do you ever see somebody carry on a quiet, normal conversation. It's always something that's just loud. But see, God doesn't work that way. And boy, he can get our attention in such a way that there's no screaming or hollering. He can get our attention in such a way that very quietly, through whether it's through the Holy Spirit speaking in our ear or a friend, very, very quiet. And you know, the beauty of that is that for a believer, when we heed that voice, when we hear that voice, we know it to be truth. We don't have to question it. We don't have to wonder. We know it to be true because it's coming from God. And we trust in God. And we trust in the salvation that he has given us through his Son. And therefore we know why he loves us. So let us always remember, God is indeed our God, as he has promised, as we read. And we are indeed his children. Don't let Satan come to you and say, hey, you know, and whatever's going on, whether it's in your life now or later or earlier, whatever, it's a personal thing for each individual. But just remember, he is our God. And we are his children. And he will never leave us nor forsake us, as it says in Hebrews. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your great love and your compassion. We thank you that you have looked upon us with favor and that you have called us to be in this glorious kingdom. This kingdom that is full of the compassion and love and care that it could ever possibly be, so full to the point that we can turn to each other and we have a care and compassion for those who are around us. Father, we thank you for that great blessing. We ask, O God, that we would continue to look to you. We may stumble, we may fall, but Father, we certainly don't want to leave you. We want to be with you. Father, we thank you and ask you for these things in Jesus' name. And hear us now, as we ask the blessing. Father, that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.